CKRZ is the only station that cares, supports, respects, and understands Six Nations and New Credit culture, tradition, and language. Support the station that supports you. Sonics 100.3 FM. Your station, your nation.
The comments heard on the following presentation are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Sonics Incorporated or CKRZ FM. Welcome, everyone, and it is time for our Six Nations Elected Council program. And we have a house full today, and I know it's unusual this time of month to hear from Chief Ava Hill, but we also have Ava with us today, and she's brought some guests with us. Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Al.
How is everybody doing?
Fine.
So just to, as Al said, I usually just do my update on the first Friday of every month, and then we've also reserved the fourth Friday of every month for the councilors to come and do an update to the community on some of the things that they're doing. None of them have stepped up yet to do that, so we've reached out, and that opportunity is still there for them, but we've reached out to some of our staff to also come and give updates to the community on some of the different issues that they're working on. And before I introduce our staff, I did want to come today just to express our deep sorrow and our deep sadness at losing one of our counselors, Ray Miracle. You know, he's been fighting a long struggle on with cancer for the last 6-7 months. Well, actually, it started a few years ago, and I know he was fighting it with every breath he had, but in the end, he didn't make it. And we lost him this past week, which is a big loss, not only for his family, but for our council, and also for our community. And I just wanted to come and say a few words about him. You know, he was always a very reliable council member. I relied on him for a number of things. He sat on a number of committees. Him and I worked closely on border crossing issues and sports, which was his passion and his love. And as I said, I really relied on his wisdom and his guidance and his friendship, and I'm certainly going to miss that. And he also sat on a number of boards. He was our gas board member. He sat on Polytech, and he traveled to New Zealand with them, actually, and was really involved when they hosted the World Council on Education here in our community. And he was also involved in energy, and he kept saying to me, we need solar panels on our buildings. And I said, well, you go ahead, take the lead, which he did. And so we can remember Ray when we start seeing solar panels go on the fire hall later this year. And he was always a treat at council, because he was like our a teacher almost. He would always make sure we had correct grammar and all our minutes and everything. And it became a, where's Ray when things were not right? So we're really going to miss him. And he also did a lot of work on the Miles to Go Cancer Support. And he was also on the, many people may not know it, but he was on Brock University's Faculty of Applied Health Sciences Dean's Alumni Council as a sports management alumni from there. And so over the course of those years as a counselor, he met many people across the country. And my office has been receiving many messages of condolences and extending condolences to the family and to the community. So it's a big loss for us, a big loss for our community. And I ask everybody to keep his family in their prayers and to remember everything that he did. He was one of the kindest men and would do anything for anybody and never really got ruffled that much. And you know, was always had a smile on his face and was willing to help. So we are really sorely going to miss him in this community, and we're just remember all the fine work that he did. So thank you, Al. I just wanted to say that about Ray. And so now leading into our presentation today, and in my last update, you will remember that I talked a bit about BLS-3, which was called the Deschenaux case that came out of Quebec. That was following Bill C-31. This case is related to membership. In 1985, we had Bill C-31, where women that had lost their status for marrying non-natives had been reinstated. Further to that, there was another bill called C-3, which was known as the MacGyver case, where more people were reinstated. And now it's the Deschenaux case from Quebec, and it was a court ordered to the federal government to reinstate even more people. And as our membership were doing more research into it, their projections were that with this new bill, we could possibly see an additional 70,000 people added to the Six Nations membership list.
Wow.
Which is certainly going to put a terrible strain on our services that we provide. We know now we don't have enough funding to provide services. Whether funding is going to come with that is an unknown. Likely not. Even if there is some, that won't be enough, because we know that under C3, the MacGyver case, we got no additional financial resources to service those that were going to get reinstated. So one of the things we've decided to do is start looking at our own membership code, so, and that we will decide, you know, who is going to be a member of our community. And so Phil and Lonnie, Phil Montour and Lonnie Bomberry, Lonnie's our Director of Lands and Resources, have started some work on this, and we're going to be going out to the community and getting some input. And so I'm going to ask them to be here today just to give you more detail on the work that they're doing. But just remember, this is the reason we're doing this is because of the court case that's going to be imposed on us. And if we don't do anything, Indian Affairs will just arbitrarily continue to reinstate people to our ban list. So I'm going to turn it over to Lonnie and Phil, and they can start giving you some information on the work they're doing with respect to a Six Nations membership code.
Thank you, Ava.
Scanos Guego, everyone. I'm Lonnie Bomberry. I'm the Director of Lands and Resources Department for the Six Nations Elected Council. And I just wanted to inform everyone about an important undertaking that is about to occur. As the Chief Hill has indicated, we're about to embark on a project, an undertaking to take over our membership from the Department of Indian Affairs. As a nation that's moving towards self-government, the most important thing that speaks to who we are is our citizens, who our citizens are, and who our people are. Right now, Canada determines our membership, but that's something we should do ourselves. That is how we make Six Nations ours. The timing of our work around developing a citizenship code is critical because Canada has been barreling towards new legislation that has wide-reaching implications for our membership and the ways of life in our community. Bill S-3, which the Chief mentioned, of the Parliament of Canada, was proclaimed in force on December 22nd, 2017. The legislation, that's Bill's S3, was supposed to cure the sex discrimination against Indian women and their descendants who had lost status as a result of the Indian women's marriage to non-Indians after 1951. Bill C-31 of 1985, the Chief also mentioned that, was the first stab at inequities as a result of the Charter rights, and it was the first attempt to cure the discrimination. It allowed those women and all of their children to regain status. However, those female children who married non-Indians could not pass on status to their children, but male children who married non-Indians could. So right there was a little bit of inequity. Bill C-3, that the Chief also referred to, of 2011, attempted to cure this inequity, but actually continued the discrimination in another respect, because grandchildren born before September 4th, 1951, who traced their Aboriginal heritage through their maternal parentage, are still denied status, while those who trace their heritage through their paternal parentage are not. Bill S3 now says that all descendants of those Indian women who married non-Indians after September 4, 1951, or immediately before that date, are entitled to status. This includes grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and even great-great-grandchildren. Events around September 4, 1951 are called the 1951 cutoff rule. There are people now being added to Six Nations list pursuant to Bill S-3. Bill S-3 proposes to remove the 1951 cutoff rule after a consultation period by the Minister of Indigenous Affairs with First Nations across Canada. I just want to mention about this 1951 cutoff rule. Now, the Indian Act has had major revisions throughout its history. Of course, it was enacted first in Canada in 1876. And it has some major revisions afterwards. And in the 1920s, there was a major revision that kind of dealt with Indian status, Indian membership. And that survived until another major revision of the Indian Act in 1951, which is pretty much the ones that the subsequent legislations attempted to fix in any of their amendments. So in the 1951 Indian Act, there was a what they call a cutoff rule. It basically said that Indian women who lost their status after 1951 as a result of marriage to non-native persons, you know, their old rule is that they were off. While Bill C-31 attempted to correct that, and Bill, as the chief said, Bill S-3 proposes to remove the 1951 cutoff rule after a consultation period by the Minister of Indigenous Affairs with Indian with First Nations across Canada. The consultation period is to end in June of 2019, so that's this year. When the rule is no longer in effect, those people who can show that they are descendants of one person who was on or entitled to be on the Six Nations list, going back as far as 1869, will be added to the Six Nations list. And the chief already mentioned the additions, but, you know, it is estimated that, you know, that could be anywhere from 60,000 to 80,000 people who could be added to the Six Nations list. So if we don't take steps to control our membership, Canada will continue to add members to our nation without any consideration to who they are or what their connections are to the community, what their connection to the community even is. And the estimated numbers have the potential impact on our nation's ability to provide services to our members. This is a threat to our existence as Ongwehowe, and more specifically as Haudenosaunee. A primary concern of the nation is to preserve our way of thinking, our culture, languages, and religions. If the population of our nation doubles to or even triples, it will be a challenge to protect our culture and resources for future generations. Speaking of resources, we do not now have enough in regards to land base, housing money, education dollars, or health funds to provide for these new additions. We cannot now adequately serve our present membership. Realizing the devastating effect that Bill S-3 will have on Six Nations, we've begun to have discussions in 2018 about taking over our membership to take back control of deciding who our people are. If our code that we are in the process of developing is approved by the membership, two registries of members will exist now. One is that is maintained by Canada, so they will continue to have their status membership list like they always have. And so people there who will be enabled to claim to be Six Nations to get status cards and federal benefits. And then there will be one that is ours, the Six Nations, that Six Nations maintains, that determines if a person is our citizen and is able to benefit from services and resources in our community. Current and new citizens will continue to have a status card as well. So the federal government will continue to maintain a Six Nations membership list, entitled to citizenship, but not necessarily the case. Wait, they will continue to maintain a Six Nations membership list, but it's not necessarily the case that those people who qualify for Indian status will automatically be entitled to citizenship under our code. All those people on the list that we inherit from the government of Canada on the day we take control of our citizenship will continue to be citizens of Six Nations. So we're inheriting their list, and thereafter, those new citizens that come onto our citizenship code will have to meet the requirements of our new code. We are about to finalize a draft Six Nations of the Grand River Citizenship Code and make it available to the public for comment. It will be on the Six Nations website for examination and feedback. The Six Nations Council intends to have copies made and put into all mailboxes on the territory. We have hired the firm of One Feather Consultants to conduct the online voting and the voting at the ballot boxes. The online voting means that as long as you have an email address, you can via the internet, you can vote via the internet and need not go to the ballot location. One Feather will conduct the pre-registration and the voting online. One Feather will also conduct and manage the secret balloting, secret voting at the ballot stations. Ballot voting will be held at three different locations on May 4th, May 11th, and May 18th. The voting may be extended 2 weeks, either by the internet or ballot box, but that decision has not been made yet. So currently the final date is May 18th. And the first community engagement meeting about the code will be held on April 15th this year, 2019. The details to be determined and will be announced and publicized. So that's what I wanted to update the community about. That the fact is that, you know, we have to do something or else we're in danger of losing who we are. So I don't know whether Phil wants to say anything more on that.
Well, that's a very extensive summary, Lonnie, and it's good. I guess one of the issues is that, you know, the chief has mentioned and Lonnie has mentioned and all of our services down here are stretched to the limit and we can't meet the needs, but the cost and budgetary items aside, you know, we've been working on our land rights. I've been working on the land rights for the greater part of my life, and we're coming to a point where we see a bit of a ray of light at the end of that tunnel there, and we want to start negotiating issues that are based on holding Canada's feet to the fire. And it means justice for our people. And it's been our people who have put through all these years with, you know, enduring the withouts, our elders who have gone without and stayed strong and honored who we are and maintained that, you know, the languages of the cultures and everything that is us. And I guess my issue is that it's the government, again, that is really they did through the residential school era where they were taking the Indian out of us. And now they're going the other way and they're diluting us to we're going to lose our identity that way if we don't do something. And the benefits for our land rights that we've done without so much, they're just going to go out the window, and all those who have been steadfast and deserve to benefit from these, be it a better education system, be it proper housing, be it additions to lands, be it anything else, there's going to be people, if we don't do something, who are going to claim entitlement to all of these benefits. And I guess my concern is, you know, it allows us to take charge of us, as Lonnie pointed out, who we actually are. Not at the mercy of Indian Affairs anymore. There will be two lists. You know, those people who they're going to register, they're going to register. But us, we're going to have a criteria. And part of that criteria is also, which has been an issue with us, is our Haudenosaunee brothers and sisters on the state side, where we have children who are not recognized, and yet they're full Haudenosaunee, be it Mohawk, Seneca, or what have you. But because of the Indian Act, they're not recognized here in Canada. Well, this enables us to give them full recognition and full rights. That is something that will never happen if we continue under the Indian Act. We've listened to the community on many issues, and another item is that we can actually, we're proposing, it's all up to the community's decision-making or acceptance of it. There's been measures that have approached our elective council, and it says they want the right to banish people from our community. Some bad behaviors that are not positive and are actually threatening to our memberships and the safety and well-being of our community. One of our recommendations is that this gives them the right to that, and that also eliminates them to hold land and to reside here. I mean, this is a chance for us to move forward. You know, we can say, oh, we're afraid of it. We want to stick our head in the sand, and that's not an answer. Doing nothing is not an answer. Doing nothing actually makes us so vulnerable. I guess that's my issue. This did come up fast on us. It has all been done, you know, through the court decision and by arbitrarily through the Indian Act, through Indian Affairs, and their protocols, how they do things. But here's an opportunity for us to step up to the plate and actually positively do something and take control of who we are, working internally and decide that, and let the people who are entitled to decide that be the decision makers at large. You know, the only way we can do it positively at this point is by a vote to accept that we want them to take control of our citizenship or not. If we don't, we're wide open to whatever Indian Affairs deems that they want to do, and we're going to get taken over by, you know, our population's now 27,000-28,000, and they expect it'll jump to 100,000. So those who have hung in there hard and long are going to have little say. We'll be outnumbered.
Well, certainly, Phil, this is going to have far-reaching effects for not just Indigenous peoples in here in this part of Ontario, but across the country. And while it is good news for females of Indigenous heritage, as the chief spoke to about funding and things of that nature, Canada is really starting to dig themselves a big hole. And never mind that, what does this mean to traditional governments across the country? How does this affect those part of our population? And are they being sought out or providing input with regards to what's going on? This is a pretty big can of worms.
It's a very big can of worms. It is. It was one of those, I don't want to say a hidden secret, but
it's the elephant in the room.
It is. And no one's really brought it out to the point where it had to come out in this. And really, we just realized the massive impact it would have on our community especially. We've talked to some people in British Columbia and some small communities. They actually want more people because they're so small that they don't have capacity to function as a strong community. You know, we're quite a viable community, but just take it from that aspect. We want to educate more of our people, and at the present time, at post-secondary, there's 400 students every year can't get funding and continue their education. That number will go from 400 to well over 4,000. You know, because I don't think resources are going to come with that, but it's going to be all at the detriment of the real, I don't want to say the real people, but that's really what we are, the Haudenosaunee people here. Others won't have a tie to the community. Others not lived here. Some don't even know where Six Nations will be, because I know Jan Burning at membership said people got their card, know where is Six Nations. She's heard that before. So it's not that the people are going to be denied that they're not going to be status Indian Act Indians. That list is going to continue. The government's going to do that. What our citizenship code is, who has a right to be a Haudenosaunee Six Nations citizen here on Six Nations, to be able to hold land, to be able to reside here, to be able to access our services. Under our conditions, you know, there's going to be other people can make, those people who feel that they have a strong case and are eligible, they can make applications. It's being structured that there will be a tribunal set up, there will be a commission set up to receive these, and they can be appealed to a tribunal if, you know, they do have strong ties to the community. And for some reason, they just weren't included in, they may not even be S3s. But as Lonnie pointed out, all those who are on the list at the time when we take it over, they're going to have to become our citizens. It's after that we have discretionary authority. And all those who are at least 50% with a parent from Six Nations, there will be automatics. That's not an issue. So maybe Lonnie has more comments.
No, I think that summarizes it very well, Phil. And like I said, we're We're planning on getting the information out to the community about where we can meet to discuss the code. And, of course, I said it'll also be posted on the website. So we're anticipating to have that code ready for everyone's examination probably within, say, a week or a week and a half. And put on at least put it on a website. I said we'll have to do some printing of it too to get it out to everybody else. But it's important that you know, if you have an opinion, express it, because what we're talking about is our future as Ongwehoe people. So you know, if you're satisfied with everything and the way things are going with the new code, well, that'll be much appreciated as well. If you have comments, we're open to any suggestions that you have. So just let you know then that the information will be out there in the very near future.
So, Lonnie, if anybody has actually had the opportunity to sit down and read this legislation, it's some pretty darn heavy reading. And a lot of it's hard to understand. You know, like, you make mention of $20 words. Well, there's a lot of them in there. Or can we call you if we need help to understand this legislation?
Yes, I have a good understanding of Bill S3, so you can contact me and I'll talk to anybody about that. And when our code comes out, you can contact me too to also discuss how the code affects the legislation. And we're also going to be having a location where people can actually go to, and that's, as I said, this will be managed by One Feather. And talk further with the individuals who have been trained on the new code, and can answer anybody's inquiries about how this is going to affect them.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Actually, we have maybe following up with that, just a structure on how they communicate, and we have Tammy from One Feather.
Nicole
from One Feather, who can kind of give an update on what they're going to be involved with, because they've been contracted as independent, and they're busy working, and we certainly needed the help to organize this in a very short, limited amount of time. So,
yes, my name is Nicole Hayash, and I work with Lawrence Lewis at a company called One Feather. We conduct primarily Indigenous engagement projects all across Canada. What makes our company unique is that Lawrence created a technology platform to enable community members to vote electronically through an encrypted process. So over the next few weeks, we will be, and I've been here all week, working on setting ourselves up, and we will be operating out of the cabin at our sustenance over on 4th Line. We will be I will be at the job fair this afternoon, hoping to recruit a couple of community members to help us build our team of community educators so that they can maintain a spot at the sustenance cabin and attend the community events and be available to discuss the code and its implications for the community, and also to educate people on how they can vote. As Lonnie mentioned, we'll be having three polling stations on three separate days to accommodate as many members who want to participate as possible. We will also be opening the online voting. So the physical voting days will be May 4th, May 11th, and May 18th. But we will also be opening up online voting on April 18th. So online voting will be open for at least 30 days. What we have found across the country is when we operate and when we offer online voting, it really does increase the participation, and it appeals to younger people as well, who may care very much about what's happening here in the community but may not be able to attend one of those polling days. So we look forward to meeting the community members over the next 2 months, and we're happy to be here and to get to know the issues around this community. So thank you for having me today.
Thank you, Nicole. Yeah.